pilgrimage, even though he may not travel to a holy spot in India or in this case in Tibet. This pilgrimage, this inner pilgrimage, has different stations. The first is the calling. You feel that oh, my life is a little narrow the way it is now. And at that time, you become interested in something which broadens your horizon, like yoga is a very, very good path because it changes your perceptions and makes you more sattvic ultimately. It elevates you onto a level where you see very clearly about life, about yourself, and so on. That's the call. We should follow the call, and then when you hear the call, you will always feel that there is an obstacle to overcome. It's the threshold, so to say. Or in Sanskrit, it's the anattas, things you are attached to, which build your comfort zone, but which are actually not good for you. And if you're ready to cross that threshold, the threshold of your own material attachments, which you have identified as not being good for you, you will usually look and find a teacher who can help you to go further. You should beg the teacher and ask him for, I would call it a tool is the right English word, a tool of spiritual, which gives you spiritual strength, a strength which is more than you have with your own body and with your own mind. It's for us, it's a mantra. For others, it may be some spiritual technique. Tomorrow I will become the pupil of Eddie and learn some pranayama, which is suitable. This is something which empowers you to do what you cannot do due to your own limited strength. Some higher connection, some higher instrument. In mystical language, it was, you need to find the sword of Athos. You know Athos? Do you know Athos in American? It's the medieval mystical legend of searching for the Holy Grail, and there was this king, Athos, Arthur, who got the sword, Excalibur, which helped him to do things he could not do with his own strength, and he met his Merlin, his guru. It's in all cultures the same, this inner pilgrimage, following the call, giving up the comfort zone, then meeting your spiritual, the guru, asking him for a sadhana, it's called in Sanskrit, a spiritual practice, which you then do. And as you perform your sadhana on your pilgrimage, you will come to another station. And many good spiritual people give up. And that's the test. You will be tested. Are you really for real? Your greatest attachments, which you... Wow, what is this? New York life. It sounds like a major catastrophe. So then your attachments come back on a subtler level. And then you will have to take shelter in your sadhana and conquer these obstacles with divine help. With divine help. Then comes the last station on your pilgrimage. It's the most intense. It's returning back with what you have learned and making, applying your realization, the treasure or the fruit of your pilgrimage in your daily life. This is the pilgrimage, and you don't need to walk with your feet through a sacred area. But it helps to go and visit a sacred place sometimes. Like I believe, for instance, temples where regular puja is done are such sacred places where you can find a strength which is higher than, in Sanskrit it's called purushakara, the strength with the purush, which the human being can make. You contact daiva shakti or daivi shakti, divine strength. This is the idea of pilgrimage, to contact divine strength so that you are successful in your life's journey. Hari Bol. I was once on a talk show with Nina Hagen, and she asked me the same question. Any other sacred question? Or good question? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So Dieter got lost. Dieter, my friend, is a horse jockey. Do we call it in American English also horse jockey? He jumps in the Olympic Games with his horses, like Rosalinde is one horse, and very famous horses. He jumps, and he is a sport person, very highly trained. And he got a little proud. He decided to just walk around Mountain Kailash in, not in 3 days, but in, I think his idea was one day also. So he came to that pass, which is inhabited by Parvati or Gauri, the consort of Lord Shiva. And she said, men are not allowed. Out. And he's a nice person, but not extremely sensitive to spiritual life. I hope he doesn't hear this, but it's the truth. So he first struggled, his ego struggled. Well, nah, I don't know if this is too true. He had just found a comfortable resting place. But then the voice of Gauri became so harsh. Leave or else, you know. And then he ran, and then he lost his consciousness because he was so frightened. He ran for a long time, and he stumbled. And when he woke up, his leg was frozen. So I had told him that, okay, we may worship Lord Krishna, but this is the place of Shiva. So you asked for Lord Shiva's help, and he chanted this. Shiva, 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 Shambhu. Shiva, 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 Shambhu. And then this violet light came down from Mountain Kailash and enveloped him. And it healed him, and it warmed him, and he could release his leg, and then it was gone. Shiva had sent one of his assistants to help Dieter. And then Dieter just survived the night by making mild exercises, like, you know, with the knees up and down and so on. But when we found him the next day, he was so overwhelmed by this experience of the violet message of Lord Shiva that it was too strong for him. He was not prepared. This is very important for those of us who practice yoga, when yoga prepares the body and mind ultimately for divine experiences, which we could not digest if they just overwhelm us unprepared, because it's so strong. It's like a strong current going through our subtle body, especially. And there are these, in all traditions, we call them avadutas, or divine madmen, who have a realization of the Lord, but then they only giggle from that day on. They are like children. It's really, in some ways it's all right, but they wouldn't be able to go to work in New York, which may not be a problem. But these are the good, the avadutas are the good, they have good experiences. But then there are the categories of people, you wouldn't really any longer use the word divine madmen. They're just, the senses have been burned out, the minds have been burned out. I have heard from that in Germany people are very, you know, boisterous, and they attempt sometimes high practices in the Kundalini realm, and then something goes wrong and they have to be committed to a mental hospital. Yes. So Dieter was a little bit like that. It was a little bit too much, and I saw that immediately, because yes, I have seen so much in 35 years of spiritual practice, and then I just remembered from Ayurveda that there are these mama points, and you can try to rewire the nervous system and also the channels through which the prana runs by just operating these points. You know, I had seen my doctor putting some points, and then you would not feel your leg any longer, and he could do some complicated things. I have a doctor who performs even operations just by pressing the mama points, and boom, they can do. So I knew that, and I remembered vaguely where they were, so I was praying to Krishna that said, please let me tip in the right combination, you know, so that he is all right again. And then just by the mercy of the Lord, I just somehow tipped in the right codex, you know. But it was really, I had to give all my strength, and you know, one where the liver point is, said, no problem, it's very good for you. Then the next one, and then I took even a stone to make it really sure that he would get it. And he was all right afterwards. I wouldn't open a therapeutic practice with this. I just prayed to the Lord to guide me, because imagine he would have remained in this state somewhere up in the Himalayas. We would not have gotten him back to Germany, because he would not have come with us. So everything depended on the right codex, you know. We got the Da Vinci Codex by Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your very nice question. With your permission, I will look now at the wristwatch, because time is also there, and Kostuba suggested we do only 1 hour or so. I know we are in New York, and many of you are supremely busy. So I would suggest that we make maybe a little pause, and then we have a very nice guest with us. Is Sachi Devi actually here? Sachi Devi is a very renowned classical singer of India, actually. She has come, and I wanted to suggest that maybe we do, after eating a few bhajans, those of you who can stay on, we can sing with her, just for a few minutes, for the pleasure of Lord Krishna and Lord Ganesh and all the sacred personalities who are here. I think it is a good chance to support the wonderful atmosphere which Eddie has put here, or which the Lord has put here. I think this is, Eddie would feel more comfortable to hear like this. And all of you who are here studying the ancient art of yoga. Yes, so it would be a good support. We would create a good field. But for now, please take sufficient prasadam.